I'd like to read in Matthew, please, and chapter 6, by way of opening for our brother. Brother Piersey was preaching a gospel before I was saved. And the year after I was saved, I remember he had meetings in our assembly, and many souls were saved at that time. The hall couldn't hold the people, and we would like to see that happen again. And perhaps God will move in a way that he did then. Matthew chapter 6, verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, the nations. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That God will bless his word. I'll have a short time this evening, and it's almost the time of my second birthday. So I will spend a few moments then telling you how the Lord Jesus reached and saved me. I'm like the blind man. He said, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Those of you who are not saved, you're blind, as I was. But when you come to the Lord Jesus, the blindness will be removed, and you will see. You will see your lost condition, and you will see that Christ is the only Savior for men. Paul said, before I was a blasphemer and a persecutor, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I'd like to mention some verses used by the Spirit of God in leading me to faith in Christ and giving assurance of salvation at the age of 21. Just a lad of 21. And one of the verses was the one that I read, written to me by my mother in Scotland. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. All the things that men seek for, material things, money that will buy food and clothing, but the Lord Jesus said, don't seek after those things. Don't be worried about them, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We proved that over a long number of years, how true the word of God is. Genesis 6, verse 3. My spirit shall not always strive with man. Proverbs 29 and verse 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord and to our God, for he will have mercy upon him, and he will abundantly pardon. What a wonderful God we have. John 10 and verse 9, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Then that wonderful verse in Acts chapter 16, verse 32, which the Lord gave me the day after I was saved. The assurance that I have, that I'm saved, my sins are forgiven, I'm going to be in heaven with Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I'm the eldest of 6 brothers and 2 sisters. 2 brothers are with Christ, as are my parents, all the rest, but 1 brother in Toronto, in Christ, saved by his grace. 7 out of 8. And we thank God for godly parents. My dad was saved in 1924, before I was born. He was a Presbyterian, as his father was and his mother. His father was a believer in the Presbyterian Church. And he died saying, I'm trusting in Jesus as my rock. But my father was a good man, but not saved. My father was saved through the love of Christ. He learned that God loved him, and Christ died for him. And my father loved the Savior. My father prayed for us boys and girls. My earliest memories of my dad was hearing his voice in prayer, long before we were out of bed, praying for the salvation of our souls. Shortly afterwards, my mother was saved through the preaching of a man called Mr. Joseph Glancy, a converted Roman Catholic, a survivor of the liner Lusitania, which was sunk by a German torpedo in 1915. He was giving his testimony, and my mother went along, and sitting in the front seat of the gospel hall, she trusted Christ. So I had the privilege then of hearing the scriptures, the ones that I quoted to you, from my parents, from a godly grandmother, and from godly Sunday school teachers. I look back with happy memories to that Sunday school. It was packed, over 200 children. I often wonder how the teachers ever taught the children. When I thought of two rows of chairs, the teachers right down each row and three rows in the hall, and each one of those devoted teachers teaching the boys and girls the Word of God. And that is what God will use. That's what the Spirit of God used in my conversion. The Word of God. Even when I was away from home, the verses I learned in Sunday school were the means of bringing me to Christ. In my early teens, I ceased going to meetings and sought satisfaction in the pleasures of the world. Following my 21st birthday, still seeking, I got a transfer to my job from Belfast to the city of Glasgow, Scotland. Being separated from my family and my friends, I was now in a position to hear the voice of God and to listen to His word and have concern about my soul. Mother was concerned, and Mother knew I was seeking, and all my seeking would not find peace or satisfaction. And then she wrote me a letter, as she always did, every week. And my mother, until the day she died, a few years ago now, she never ceased every week to write to me. And before I was saved, there was always a verse of Scripture. But this verse that I read really left an impression upon me. John, she said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, what does the Lord Jesus say? If you put God's interest first in your life, I will guarantee your future needs and the necessities of life. Seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. Seek not what you shall eat or what you shall drink. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God. Those that seek, find. Those who have an earnestness about this great matter of salvation, they will not miss it. The Lord Jesus said, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, shall seek to enter in, and shall not be able, when once the master of the house has risen up and shut to the door, and you begin to say, Lord, Lord, open unto us. He shall say, depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and yourselves thrust out. Jesus said, or the Lord said, those that seek me early shall find me. Now, some seek other things. If you're going to be saved, it must be the first priority in your life. When the Lord called one man, he said, seek me first, to bury my father. Here's a man, self-sufficient, independent. He wanted his father's inheritance. Another said, I will follow thee, but let me first bid them farewell, which are at home in my house. He was only half-hearted. And the authority of the Father, his own Father, had precedence over the authority of Christ. Christ must have first priority. It must be the first thing and the most important thing in your life. If ever you're going to be in heaven, to get the matter of your soul's salvation settled for all eternity. Seek first the kingdom of God. And his righteousness, the kingdom of God, is a wonderful thing. Do you remember what the man said? Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And we just quoted verses of the Lord saying about those who be sitting down in the kingdom of God. What a glorious prospect for the child of God and for everyone who is saved by his grace to enter into the kingdom of God. And how can you enter in? By being born again. As Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And his righteousness, I will just leave that for a minute. I must finish my testimony. It'll be very brief. It's a very simple testimony. When I told the brethren in the assembly how I was saved, I learned afterwards they weren't going to baptize me because they didn't think much of my story. You know, we need a little discernment. I passed from death unto life. It was a simple, because I had lived such a life as the brethren knew, they couldn't think of such a simple conversion. You know, when I was in Glasgow, those verses, after my mother wrote, my spirit shall not always strive with man, and he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. I was afraid that God would speak for the last time, or I may drop dead, or be run over with a car, and ushered into eternity, and be in hell forever. And written over the portals, could be written over the portals of hell, abandon hope. All ye who enter here, no hope in hell. But praise God, the door of grace is still open, and you may enter in tonight. And I'm thankful for a young man in Glasgow, exercised about the gospel in a main street in the city of Glasgow called Sucky Hall Street. And I was at a loose end one Saturday night. I'm not going into details about that. But walking along the street, this young man gave me a tract and an invitation to special meetings conducted by a Reverend Mr. Bird, a Baptist preacher. And I determined on the Sunday night I would go and hear this preacher. He may have preached a wonderful message, but I never heard a word, I never remember a word he said. But I knew that these people had what I wanted. They had what I was seeking for, and I knew the gospel was a message that could meet my need. So after the meeting one night, I decided the matter of my soul's salvation had to be settled once and for all. And then the problem arose, how can I believe? I've always believed. I never was an unbeliever. In the sense that I believed all the historical facts about the Lord Jesus Christ. So believing was a problem. But I read words in a book given to me by a Christian friend in Glasgow, written by the late Herbert Lockyer, a very prolific writer and a good preacher. We heard him preach in Belfast many years ago. And here's what he read, just to meet my need. O blind and deceived heart, how long are you to weary yourself to find the door? Let the Holy Spirit open your eyes to see the door, for it is Jesus you need. He is the door, which as you enter, you are saved. Therefore, trust him. And this is the simplicity of the whole thing. I knelt at my bedside, and I received Christ. I received him. I entered through the door. And, of course, the devil, next morning, he said, John, you're not saved. I'll not tell you why he said that, but anyway, going down the road, this thought came into my mind, well, I'm not saved after all. But then the word of God, which I learned again, and I hadn't been at meetings, mind you, for about 6 or 7 years. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I said, God, that's good enough for me. And I'm resting on God's word and the finished work of the Lord Jesus for eternity. May God bless his word to you. And as we hear our brother Paisley preach the gospel, we trust that if you're not saved, you will be saved tonight.